Good morning, saints. Caught you off guard, didn't I? I love it. Our text today comes from Genesis. That's the first book. Last chapter, toward the end of the book. Verses 15 through 21. I'm using the Common English Version today. Please use whatever text you have that makes you comfortable. Let's begin. This is an ancient story of a character that we all know about. But I want you to listen deeply with your ears and your heart. Engage it with your mind. Let's pick up with the end of Joseph's life. When Joseph's brothers realized that their father was now dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and wants to pay us back seriously for all the terrible things we did to him?" So they approached Joseph and said, "Your father gave orders before he died telling us, 'This is what you should say to Joseph. Please forgive your brother's sins and misdeeds, for they did terrible things to you. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of your father's God.' Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers wept too, fell down in front of him and said, 'We're here as your slaves.' But Joseph said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Am I God? You planned something bad for me, but God produced something good from it in order to save the lives of many people, just as he's doing today. Now don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your children.' So he put them at ease and spoke reassuringly to them." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Great God of heaven and earth, come now in this moment and let us see you, let us hear you, let us feel you. Speak your word of challenge, your word of comfort, your word of grace to us, that we may leave here knowing that we have been with you and that we will leave here doing your work. For, Lord, it's all about you and not about us. Speak, Lord, speak our Lord, for we, your sons and daughters, need and long to hear your voice. Amen. We continue today in our sermon series, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. We're going to talk about Joseph. Now, that passage that we read didn't sound much like a scoundrel, now did it? Well, no, it sounded like a pretty good guy, but we need to go back to the beginning of Joseph. There he was a scoundrel. He was a piece of work. He was his father's favorite, and he let everybody know it. He was a smart mouth, hoity-toity, precious son of his father's. When his father gave him that coat of many colors, he was full of pride. He was a show-off. He really was. He was smarmy. He was stuck up. Oh, Lord, honey, he went and told his brothers about this dream he had where they were going to bow down before him. That didn't create any kind of love between he and his brothers. You know, he was a tattletale, too. He wouldn't told on them to his daddy. You can read about it. It's in the book. Again, when the Titans are playing today and it gets a little rough, pull out the Bible. It's all right there. He was just a scoundrel. I mean, he was all the time rubbing it in the nose of his brothers about how good he was, how special he was. It got to his brothers so bad that they threw him in a hole, and then they sold him off to some caravan that was coming through. Well, it didn't stop there. He gets sold off and then becomes the first reality TV show, The Housewives of Egypt. I'm serious. This boy had more trouble than you could, I mean, so anyway, it's in the book, right there. So he goes through all this trouble, and eventually, and he has some more visions, and he can interpret dreams, and anyway, he rises to power, second only to Pharaoh, and he grows up a little bit. And then his brothers, there's a famine in the land, and his brothers have to come to him to ask for food. But they don't know him because he's, you know, he's dressed in like the second in command of Pharaoh. And then he's going to test his brothers to see if they've learned their lesson. That's a scoundrel for you. And he sticks this piece of dinnerware, you know, some good dinnerware, not the everyday stuff. He sticks it into Benjamin's sack, and he's about to take Benjamin away, and that's when he reveals himself to test his brothers. And that's where we pick up the story. We pick up the story of Joseph and forgiveness. Well, before we can talk about forgiveness, we got to talk about a word that, as Methodists, we don't talk a lot about. Sin. There's sin, and there's sins. Sin. Anybody here not without sin? Oh, good, you're not lying today. That's good. You're in church after all. I'm glad to hear that. Anyway, there's sin. Sin is a separation from God. It is that alienation from the divine. We are all sinful, are we not? We all have some separation from God. We are born in sin. We are born in separation from God. There is sin in our world, is there not? We see it every day where there's separation from God. There are sins, those ways in which we experience separation, the commission and omission, those acts that we commit or we fail to commit that separate us from God and from others. And we can experience this separation four ways. We separate ourselves from God by breaking the covenant that God has with us, where we turn away from God and we try to be God, where instead of allowing God to be the center of our lives, we try to put ourselves in the center of our lives. And that rarely works, right? Anytime we try to stand in the place of God Almighty, it will fail. Then we try to separate ourselves from other people, where we put ourselves in the center of the relationship, and those relationships are unhealthy. Instead of loving people and using things, we tend to use people and love things, right? We tend to try to make all of our relationships about us instead of about coming together as individuals in relationships to worship God. We separate ourselves from the created order. We devastate the earth. We abuse the earth. We use it for our own purposes. And we're not the stewards that we were created to be when God placed us in the garden. And then here's the separation that we often don't talk about. It's a separation from ourselves. We don't love ourselves. We don't realize that we are created in the image of God. And we don't take care of all parts of ourselves, body, mind, and spirit, as the divine image of God bearers that we are. And this separation drives us to do things that really don't make sense when we sit down and think about it. And this is at the root of this is sin. Then there's forgiveness. Is that repairing of the relationship, that trying to span the gulf of that separation, that trying to bring about that oneness with God, that trying to understand our responsibility in repairing the relationship and receiving the mercy of God, receiving the grace of God through Jesus Christ. It is that time in which we realize that we need to turn back through the promptings of the Holy Spirit, through the receiving of grace, through that justifying of grace, through that understanding that we cannot in and of ourselves forgive ourselves, but we need grace in our lives. But forgiveness is difficult, is it not? Forgiveness is hard when we've been wronged and when we've been harmed. Forgiveness is difficult when anger is involved and when the hurt goes very deep. Paul Tillich, in his book, The Courage to Be, one of my favorite theologians, says, "The courage to affirm oneself in spite of the anxiety of guilt and condemnation is a courage which we have called the courage of confidence. It is rooted in the personal, total, and immediate certainty of divine forgiveness." In other words, when we are certain, when we take off all of the layers of self-protection, and we realize that we are divinely forgiven, that God meets us where we are, God accepts us even though we're unacceptable. When God forgives us, that we are truly forgiven and that we can forgive ourselves. That's the hardest part for me, is forgiving myself. Anybody else have that problem? Truly accepting forgiveness. When we can let go of guilt and shame for ourselves, then our personal, total, and immediate certainty of forgiveness resides in God. Outside of God, forgiveness is not possible. Then we can move on. We need to move toward our pain in order to go past our pain. We need to move toward our hurt in order to go past our hurt. And there are times when that's very difficult, is it not? Not a word of caution here. We are called to forgive because we are forgiven people. But that does not mean that we need to keep putting ourselves into dangerous situations. There are times when certain relationships need to be severed for our safety and for our own good. We can forgive, but we need not put ourselves back in those situations. We need not forget that some relationships need to be severed completely, that we can forgive. We need to forgive also in order to release ourselves from the hold that anger has on us. We need to forgive in order that we can move on, in order that we can grow. God forgives us. Period. God will always forgive us whenever we ask. There is nothing that God won't meet us at. There is nothing that God won't forgive. There is no one that God won't forgive. That's the miracle of grace. I am so grateful that our God is big enough and gracious enough to forgive that way. God turns no one away. Amen. God will turn us away not. God will forgive. But we have to come. We have to say yes to this grace. We have to just open the door that little bit, and God is standing there already. We have to be ready to forgive and to be forgiving. We have to be able to move forward. Bitterness and resentment have to be let go in order for us to grow. And we can only let go of that through the grace of God. That's the lesson of Joseph, is that he learned to let go of his bitterness and his resentment and his need for revenge through the power of God and forgave his brothers. I don't know about you, but I have to work on that myself. I have my own bitterness and my own resentment toward people who have hurt me. I have to learn to forgive. So in this time, at the close, as we sing our closing hymn, Just As I Am Without One Plea. It's number 357 in your hymnal. We're just going to open the altar. Is there someone or something that you need to ask forgiveness for or from? The first step is to go to God on your knees in prayer. Our altar is open that you may begin the journey of forgiveness now. I invite you to stand as you are able. Number 357, Just As I Am Without One Plea.